ప్రేమస్వరూపులారా.
ఎంబాడిమెంట్స్ ఆఫ్ లవ్.
శాంతి నీ లోపల ఉన్నది కానీ బయట లేదు.
పీస్ ఇస్ విత్ ఇన్, నాట్ అవుట్ సైడ్.
అవుట్ సైడ్ నో పీస్, ఓన్లీ పీసెస్.
Dear listeners, Sai Ram from Prashanthi Nilayam, the most happening place on the planet. As I always say, I'm Team Radio's Bishu. And today is a very beautiful day, a Thursday where the whole world celebrates love. And if you are in Prashanthi Nilayam, you are actually celebrating the highest love ever possible that you have experienced in your life. Wherever you are, once you are connected to Prashanthi Nilayam, you are not celebrating love, you become love. In fact, that is the goal of having love in our life, isn't it? Where you don't want to love, you just become love. And I'm only tempted to share with you how such a fantastic journey it has been, sharing with you these lovely moments of love, learning with love in Vrindavan, the series that we are having, to relish how the same Lord who came down once again in the Kali Yuga avatar as Sri Satya Sai, the same Krishna, when he came down as Sai Krishna, how that same love exchange metamorphosed into such a beautiful dimension. What was experienced by a few gopas and gopikas in the Dwapara Yuga now was expanded to such a beautiful mammoth extent that you have hundreds and thousands experiencing that love with the divine. And when we hear about the Lord's story in Vrindavan, how the Vrindavan ashram came into being, how Bhagavan chose that sacred spot on earth and christened it Vrindavan, how he set up the college there, how he picked everyone to play with him in this sacred land that he called Vrindavan, and how slowly he set an example for the whole world to emulate, how that was the foundation of the Sri Satya Sai system of integral education. If you have been following this series, we've been taking you through this journey as we move on to celebrate 50 years of this campus in June 2019. In the June of 2018, we started this series. And what an exhilarating experience it has been for all of us to recall, relish, and rejuvenate ourselves with these stories of the Lord. And today, Bhagavan has blessed us with someone who has been there, who has tasted that nectar of Sai Krishna in Vrindavan in the 70s. Brother Sonam Gyamso, who was blessed to become a Sai student in 1978. But before we listen to him, let me share with you a little clip that I had the chance to record with Brothers Naveen Patel, Kiran Patel and Brother Sridhar. All of them joined Vrindavan campus way back in the 73-74, in the early years. And in this episode, Brother Naveen narrates how Nagar Sankirtan started in Vrindavan. I have shared with you how moral classes started, how jogging started, how prayer sessions in the college started, how self-reliance activities started. Let's listen to how Nagar Sankirtan and the Seva followed by Nagar Sankirtan, began as a beautiful offering to the Lord in Vrindavan in those years. And after that, we will go to first-hand experience of Brother Sonam Gyamso.
You were talking about the various self-reliance activities that started. Earlier we talked about how the boys used to look after the kitchen, boys used to do the cleaning, boys used to even get involved later on with the Gokulam. So were the boys also involved in any sort of Gram Seva then, the social service in the villages?
As I pointed out at one stage that we used to do this Nagar Sankirtan. At one stage Swami suggested that we do Nagar Sankirtan. And he told us to go to Beltur village, about a mile and a half from Vrindavan campus. He said, go and do that place and then come back and I'll give you morning darshan. This is the Sunday morning routine. And villagers came to know, people from Karagori also came to know about this thing. So they also joined in, because they knew that they join in to this Nagar Sankirtan and they come back. And Swami would be waiting
to give darshan from the top.
Swami would give darshan from top. And used to be beautiful darshans in the morning. And slowly this, the number of people in this Nagar Sankirtan grew so much, because the villagers also started participating. Swami said, make it into two groups. Part of the bhajan group go towards Karagori, part of it go towards Beltur.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how more people came in the morning to have Swami's darshan. And it's a wonderful sight to see early morning. And I personally noticed that in the morning when you saw Swami, you would see a big halo around Swami. And that, you know, is God is standing in front of you. And He's actually giving you this vision of Almighty big aura around Him.
I remember we used to call it as Visharupa Darshan.
The morning Darshan.
Yes.
It was very special.
Very special. So more and more people started coming in. Bangalore people also said, we will join in. So early morning they used to travel.
Yeah, Bangalore bhajan group also.
The bhajan group, they used to travel there. And they said, oh, anyway, we are going for Sunday morning bhajans. We might as well stay there. And that's how they used to make a whole day out of it. Those days, the cars used to come inside the Vrindavan campus. There were few cars, but they used to come up there.
Swami always liked people to participate in Nagar Sankirtan.
Yes.
Isn't it?
Yes, yes. And then, one fine day, he said, look, now you've done this, you need to do a bit of work there as well. Because Beltur is very dirty. Go and clean the streets. As you start cleaning it, well, he sent a four-party that consisted of people like me, and we went and spoke to the elders in that village to say that, you know, we are going to come and start cleaning the streets and all that sort of thing. And it would be nice if few people join in. And initially there was a bit of resistance from them, but they saw that, you know, the boys would do all these sort of things, start cleaning gutters up so that they're not clogged up, and then free-flowing waters of dirty waters and all that. So they also started doing that. And the idea was that sooner or later they would take over this service. And they did. So that's how Swami's message of service went over to that place. The same thing happened in Karagori as well. And slowly other villages also probably saw that and started taking up that example.
Swami wanted boys to not only look after themselves and look after all the hostel duties, but also step out and serve.
Yes.
I think that was always the message.
Yes. Yes.
And he wanted boys to like that, to get used to that.
Because you see, he was training us for sooner or later that we'll have to go out of the hostel.
Exactly.
Wherever you are,
you
make a point of doing all this seva.
Seva, absolutely.
Yeah.
So that is how Nagar Sankirtan started in Vrindavan. And as he mentioned, it was like having Swami's Vishwarupa Darshan early in the morning when you look at Bhagwan in the twilight. The sun is rising and you have the sun of our lives rising at the same time. With that beautiful halo of hair, the halo effect. You can only think of the Lord as the most beautiful one. In fact, that reminds me of that bhajan where we extol the beauty of the divine. We describe him as the most beautiful person that our eyes would have ever had the chance to see. Anupama Sundara Nandakishora.
Vrindavana Ganesha.
How this bhajan goes. You're describing the beauty of the Lord, Brinda Vihari Mandara Giridhari. You know, he's the one who roamed in this beautiful locale that he chose in the Dwaparuga as Vrindavan and christened his own Vrindavan in the Kali Yuga. And that is where you see the beauty of the Lord being replayed. And as Brother Naveen was sharing, when you saw Bhagwan, you saw that Vishwarupa Bhagwan. And what comes to me is, once they saw that Vishwarupa Bhagwan, Swami was telling them that now that you have seen this beautiful form of mine, can you actually see the Vishwarupa, which is not just this form? The Vishwarupa that I want you to see is to see me in everyone. Go out and serve. That is when truly you will have the Vishwarupa darshan. So he gave them the Nagar Sankirtan darshan, but then he told, go and see me in every person in Kadugudi, in every person in Baltur, go out and serve. So subtly, so beautifully, Bhagwan was constantly communicating such beautiful messages. And we have Brother Sonam with us today, who was there during those years. So Brother Sonam, you know, I just could not resist playing this bhajan, Anupama Sundara, you know, when we heard Brother Naveen talk about the morning beautiful darshan of Vrindavan. I don't know if you have any recollections of that kind of darshan in Vrindavan, and how was it for you in Vrindavan?
Well, Brother Vishu, as I was listening to Brother Naveen, I became quite nostalgic about my own days there in Vrindavan.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, the charm of Vrindavan, the charisma of Vrindavan was so strong that I was drawn so close to Bhagwan, I should say through Vrindavan.
Oh.
Because as a devotee, when I came to Vrindavan during the summer course of 1977, and I saw these students of Bhagwan clad in white, running from here to there, singing bhajans, I used to feel that they are not just ordinary human beings. I would think that these are like demigods, you know.
They always seem like angels.
Angels, special people. And I used to think myself, I used to imagine myself being a part of them. And this is how...
How I long to be when the saints go marching in.
So the seeds of, I would say, the most beautiful temptation on earth, to be near the Lord. You know.
The greatest romance, the greatest adventure.
The greatest adventure. So that was, they were planted in my heart. And to cut things short, when I ultimately got a chance in 1978 to join his university, join his college, Sri Satya Sai Arts, Science and Commerce College, I joined in my 11th grade, that is pre-university. So that is how Swami fulfilled my dream. And that was the place where I got my first initiation also. And in retrospect, when I think of it today, the initiation was perfect for me. At that time, I thought it was just a passing remark by Bhagwan. As he would ask every student, he asked me, "Where are you from?" So when I said, "Swami, I am from Sikkim," because at that point in time, the thought that I am from you was not there in my mind at all. So all that I thought was, "I am from Sikkim, my origin is from Sikkim." So Swami said, "Where are you from?" I said, "Sikkim." And Swami corrected me straight away and said, "Not Sikkim, seek him," he said.
Oh, wow.
So that was my first initiation. In retrospect, when I think of it now.
He said that?
This is how he had initiated me. Wow. And nobody in the later course of time, when I was doing my studies, my research in Sikkimese studies, I never found anything like this written by anyone anywhere.
Oh, my God. And, you know, the first day with Bhagwan, and he has put you onto the path straight away.
Straight away. So this etymology of Sikkim, people have written about so many things about Sikkim must have its origin in Shikhin and stuff like that. But then seek him straight away.
Wow.
And at that time, I was definitely not dumbfounded. But at the same time, it took me some time to digest that, to understand the purport of it.
And very young that time.
Very young, just a teenager. Now, the Nagar Sankirtan scenario that Navin Bhaiya was describing, by the time I joined, these things had reached a very mature state. In the sense that every Thursday, every Sunday, there were meticulous preparations for Nagar Sankirtan. And Swami would, in a very routine manner, give darshan from the balcony of the old beautiful bungalow, Swami's bungalow. And as Navin Bhaiya was describing, everyone had his share of the darshan of halo around Swami's head.
Wow.
And so many times in the still hours of the morning, just before daybreak, you know, you could see only the silhouette of Swami on the balcony. You couldn't see his face. But then you could see the shimmering light around his head. Sometimes it used to be, for me, golden, sometimes silver.
Wow.
People asked me later on, was it after Frank Baranowski had described, people asked me, was it pink? So I said, no, I never saw pink. But I saw the halo used to have these golden and silver shades, silver, you know, silver color and golden color. And it used to just so neatly spread around his hair.
Wow.
And when he would sway to the lilting tune of the bhajans, even the aura would sway along with his form. And sometimes it would cover his whole body, sometimes only the halo, or only the hair, the crown of his head. So it was so beautiful. And then it was our prerogative to choreograph the Nagar Sankirtan. Because by the time we reached, we made the Nagar Sankirtan, we added a lot of imagination to it. Just like, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Jagai Madai, they would have done. So we started imagining those things, putting ourselves in their shoes. And then we had coal. I still remember I bought this coal. Coal is a very delicate West Bengal percussion instrument. You know it very well, of the Bengalis. On one side is very small and on the other side is quite wide.
Unlike mridangam.
Yeah. And it's especially paid, but the sound is very, you know, it has got a pitch sound.
Yes.
And it's a beautiful instrument played by the Vaishnavas.
Yes.
Today. And
the Hare Krishna
movement.
Yeah,
they play that because I believe it used to be played during the Nagar Sankirtans led by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself. So, because we were also flowing out into the streets of Kadugudi and Velathur, and we used to feel that we are no less than Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's followers, at least, you know, because we are following the Master, the Lord himself.
Yes.
So, we used to choreograph it, and I still remember purchasing that instrument in Calcutta, and bringing it all the way to Vrindavan.
Wow.
And because the instrument was so delicate, it had to be taken care of very properly. So I had sleepless nights sitting, putting the coal on the berth in the train. And then sitting near the coal and guarding it.
So precious it is.
So precious it was. And precious because we had to play it in the presence of the Master.
Swami, yes.
And when we reached Vrindavan,
By nature, musical instruments, you have to bring it with a lot of care. But this is for Bhagwan.
For Bhagwan. And for our joy.
Yes.
And then Bhagwan would look at you very graciously and speak a word of appreciation.
You'll be only imagining what will be Swami's reaction.
Exactly.
Once we have this new edition.
To our teenage minds at that time, all that mattered was a look of recognition from Bhagwan.
Yes.
One smile from Bhagwan.
Yeah, can you do khushi. Something which will thrill him? Yeah.
And that beautiful word, Bahut Khushi. Bahut Khushi. So, we used to play this instrument exclusively for Krishna bhajans. Even in the hostel, in the presence of Bhagwan, or even when Swami would be away from Vrindavan, we would be doing bhajans in the hostel. We used to plan the bhajan in such a way that for every Shiva bhajan, we would have invariably a bass tabla to imitate the sound of pakwads. So that, you would get a feel of the Shiva tando.
Wow.
And for Krishna bhajans, we would have the pitch tablas and then coal. So much instrumentation was done for the bhajan. So that 1 hour of bhajan and sometimes 1.5 hours of bhajan used to be the most mesmerizing session you could imagine. So this is how Swami beautifully trained us. And the ultimate glory that is sung out, the ultimate way you sing out is glory. Jai bolo Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba ki jai. That used to resonate in the morning and your day was done. Your day was made because you had the darshan of Bhagwan in the early hours of the morning. And what a way to start the day.
Yes.
Looking at the beautiful darshan, looking at the beautiful face of the Master. It used to be that.
The mesmerizing Krishna.
Jaya
Krishna. We have that, Jaya Jaya Brinda.
You remember, whenever we sang this bhajan before Swami, even in the later days in Prashanti Nilayam, Swami spent hours on end trying to correct the pronunciation of Krishna. And then Swami would sound so beautiful. Krishna, Swami would say. And because we wanted to, use that word sometimes rhyme it properly. So we had to prolong the word, you know.
We make it Krishna and Krishna.
To fit into the tune. And Swami would say, you don't do that. It is Krishna.
Krishna, yes.
So saying Krishna, it was so difficult to sing it. Because it wouldn't really match with the tune. And then Swami made us do it. So in Vrindavan, I used to look at the students, even before my Vrindavan times, before I joined the college, I used to feel that these are very special people and they must be the Gopikas, exact true to the words of Navin Bhaiya. I used to feel that these must be the Gopikas of Dwapar Yuga. And my thoughts were later on, you know, in many ways, they were exemplified by so many students. Some of them are still here. You know, Veda Narayan.
Yes.
People like Deo Sen. Whenever I looked at them, 24 hours they were glued to Vrindavan. They were all the time inside Vrindavan. When I talk about inside Vrindavan, I mean the bungalow area.
Yes, Swami's residence.
They would be, every respite that we would get, little bit of free time we would get, we would just saunter into, walk into the beautiful garden. And then stand somewhere there, waiting for Bhagwan to show himself on the window.
One more glance.
One more glance of Bhagwan. And there used to be these two windows, you know. One in the front, not front, on the other side of the other flank, and the other window on this side of the bungalow. And Swami would give darshan from there. And many times he would, like the prankster that Krishna used to be, you know. He would play pranks with us. So he would just shake the curtain a bit, and all of humanity waiting for Swami, they would rush towards that window, and then sometimes only a hand would appear out of the, you know, come out of the window of the of the curtain, and then he would just say no darshan today, and then he would be on the other side,
and he would run there.
Everyone would rush towards that side. So the whole evening, sometimes the entire morning before darshan, after darshan, after he would retire to his bedroom, you know, would be spent in this way. And I was wondering what would Swami be doing at that time. There used to be a divan upstairs near the window, placed near the window, and Swami would sit on the divan, and with a notebook and a pen, he would write for endless hours. He would sit there, not on a table, but he would hold the notebook on his lap and write for hours and hours on end for humanity.
And I remember Sri Ramakrishna Reddy sir narrating this, and how that is the way Bhagwan penned all the vahinis.
All the vahinis were penned
for us. Yes.
He would write for the Sanatan Sarathi.
Yes.
And all that he wrote for the Sanatan Sarathi.
So, you know, on one hand, if you see, you know, he was playing with you like Krishna.
Yeah.
But at the same time, what he was writing was the profoundest truths.
Profoundest truths.
Upanishad Vahini, you know, Sutra Vahini, Sandeha Nivarini was what flowing out from him during that time.
And whenever he was taking a break from his writing, he would give us darshan. So all the time, busy saving humanity. Busy regaling us with his darshan, sparshan, sambhashan, everything together.
Wow. Brother, you mentioned about Frank Barnowski. So, did that happen? Did he come when you were a student?
Oh, yes, definitely. That's a great memory. In fact, a great moment I must share with you. You know, it was in 1988. If I'm not mistaken, not 1988, sorry, 1980, that the Chief Minister of Andhra Pradesh, the erstwhile Chief Minister, Dr. Mariam Chenna Reddy, he prayed to Bhagwan that education in his state was going haywire, and then only Swami can, you know, correct the teachers, give them some moral lessons, that they should be sincere in teaching. So he prayed to Bhagwan to train his students in moral values and value-oriented education. So Swami said yes. So 900 primary level teachers of Andhra Pradesh were sent to Vrindavan, 900 of them, to be trained by Bhagwan, and the total number of days that Swami trained them was 9 days.
Wow, it was almost like a summer course.
It was like a summer course. But unlike a summer course where you have students who are Sai devotees, they are devotees already.
Children of devotees.
Yeah, all children of devotees. But here were people who had no idea of what they were into. So they had come to Vrindavan as mandated by the department. So they came as a part of that duty. They were doing the job, in fact, by coming there to Vrindavan. And then Swami had instructed us, given us very strict instructions to be the best, to play the best host to them.
Uh-huh.
Don't interfere with whatever they do every day. Don't disturb them. They have come for my darshan. And the only in the training that they got from throughout the session was Swami's one discourse in the evening. Swami would give them a discourse. In the afternoon, probably they had to listen to some talks by some eminent people, probably. But we were not there at that time because we would be in our college. So back from college, it was darshan time. And then Swami would have them completely jam-packed inside the Kalyan Mantapam. And then there Swami would give them one discourse.
Mm-hmm.
And have somebody speak before Swami and then Swami would follow it up with his discourse. And then it was bhajan that was the mainstay. Swami asked us, teach them bhajans. So there was a notice was put up there on the wall. And then whoever was interested could just give the name. And we had quite a number of people who enlisted for the bhajan training program.
Train them.
So we had to teach them bhajans.
Mm.
So they learned about 9, 10, 11, 12 bhajans like that. Not too many bhajans.
Mm.
And they were completely, bhajans were new to them.
Mm.
And this genre of bhajan also was new to them.
Mm.
Maybe they were not new to music.
Mm.
But they were definitely new to this system of bhajan singing.
Mm.
So in the beginning, the first one or two days, we were in the morning rudely shocked when they were screaming and shouting because they would wake up right at 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, they would wake up and then they would be all around looking for coffee because they are so used to that, you know. And then some of them would be even smoking. And we couldn't say no to them because Swami had asked us very strictly, don't interfere with whatever they do. So some of them, and loudly, they would be loudly gossiping, talking, shouting, screaming. So the entire campus was disturbed by them. That's what we felt. But at the same, and Swami invariably would ask us, kaisa hai, how is it? So very meekly, the boy said, they are quite noisy, Swami. Quite boisterous. Swami would say, yes, they have to be like that. But they will be different from now on. So in a matter of 3 to 4 days, we started observing a marked change in their attitude. Suddenly they were very quiet. Suddenly many of them started coming for bhajan classes.
Wow.
And then all that happened in the evening was one discourse of Bhagwan. And then on one of those days, Frank Baranowski, that was, I think, his first visit to Prashanti Nilayam. And the objective that brought him to Prashanti Nilayam was he wanted to measure Swami's aura with what he called the Kirlian camera. So the Kirlian photography with which he could measure the aura of human beings. And he said that by just looking at the aura of a human being, I can make out their disposition, what ails them, their mental attitude. Everything is seen there in the aura. It betrays everything that we are as a personality. So he wanted to measure Swami's aura, and as he sat there for darshan in the morning, he was taken aback when he saw Swami's aura. And in his own words, now this is what happened. In the evening, Swami asked him to speak. So when Frank Baranowski, when he spoke, now this is how he started his talk, and I had goosebumps when he spoke that. He said, I am Dr. Frank Baranowski, and I felt that I am a past master in this particular art or in this science of measuring auras. I have given talks, and right from childhood, I believe, even without the camera, he could read people's auras. He could see people's auras, and he could see the subtle body of other people.
He was gifted.
Right from his birth, he was very precocious, and he was gifted to see people the subtle forms of people. So later on, when he developed, he developed this system of measuring people's aura, and he had an instrument also that could be repelled by the strength of a person's aura, the spiritual strength of a person. So we were very afraid to go near it, because you know it would measure your strength. You know, you don't want to be betrayed by a small machine there. So, and I still remember when Professor Kasturi's was Kasturi was. They tried it on Professor Kasturi.
Mm.
It pushed the ball like thing to the farthest end. It was almost 15 to 20 feet away from him.
Oh.
And he said, this is the highest, the best humanly possible.
Oh.
Because he said, I have given talks in this, in his talk, he said,
uh-huh.
I have been invited even in the Buckingham Palace to give talks on the aura and spirituality and science. But today, as I stand here, in the presence of this master, I am standing on shaky legs, he said.
Hmm.
My legs are shaking. And then he said that I know that I'm in the presence of love itself.
Wow.
And he said, these were his words, I'm in the presence of love walking on 2 feet.
Amazing.
So when he said that, the impact was electrifying. Like for me, I had goosebumps and I was crying. Even as I recall those moments now, I have to control myself, my emotions. It was such an electrifying moment. And then he said that when he looked at Swami and Swami was approaching towards his devotees, he said that I have never seen this kind of light emitting from any human being, this type of energy emitting from any human being. He said it was not a shade of this color or that color. It was a pink aura that didn't spread everywhere alone. It was everywhere. It was omnipresent. But it settled very lightly like a mist on every being sitting there and beyond the compound of the premises. It was just like a mist which was caressing every single individual, every inch of that space there. And that's what he saw when he looked at Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba. And he said that pink is the color of love. It is neither red or white. These are two extremes. Red is the color of anger. Red, he said, is the color of anger. And he said that, you know, when it is softened by the white of purity, it takes the hue of love. So he said it was love personified walking on that ground that day. So when he said that, it was the most electrifying moment. So wow. That was Dr. Frank Baranowski.
Amazing. I mean, you know, brother, as you narrate this, we never have the idea of what darshan does to us.
Exactly.
And this is like somebody is visually telling you what darshan is actually doing to you. And I'm really so grateful to Bhagwan that he's arranged this conversation today, because, you know, today happens to be Valentine's Day.
Valentine's Day.
You know, the whole world over, people celebrate love, but, you know, we are talking about that one who is love walking on 2 feet. You cannot have a person who can be anything but love, who every inch of his
being
was only love. And, you know, he has given us this chance to think about him, to talk about him. And you had the chance to actually hear this statement
live. Yeah, hearing about the anatomy of love, completely, you know, open threadbare before us, by a person who was seeing Swami in his subtle, you know, dimensions. And he was telling us, and what could have given us a higher joy, a better joy than this?
So he said it was like the pink settling down like a mist on every person when Bhagwan comes out for darshan.
Yes.
And it extends.
It was a pink mist settling down on everyone. I'm caressing everyone.
And it extends. It extends to everyone in the hall and beyond?
Yeah, it went beyond the wall, and there was nothing like an extension or contraction of this.
Mm-hmm.
It was just there everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
That's as far as the eyes could see.
Oh.
It was everywhere.
It's beyond the horizon.
Beyond the horizon. As far as the eyes could see, it was there.
Wow. Wow.
That was the might and majesty of Bhagwan, wow, as described by him. So now what happened was, you know, should it's not only, it didn't stop. Frank Baranowski was like, you could say, he was almost like the icing on the cake.
Uh-huh.
But then Swami had so much more to reveal,
mm-hmm,
during the entire 9-day session.
Mm-hmm.
And by the time on the 8th day, there was pin drop silence in the morning. In the hostel, there was not much movement.
Mm-hmm.
People had become so quiet.
Wow.
And there was no more noise.
The pink had done some magic.
It was the pink magic. And these people, they were now conscious that they would be in Vrindavan for just another one day.
Hmm.
And the next day would be the valedictory day. And then they would have to go back home. So that was, word had made them so quiet.
My God.
And on the 9th day, it was the valedictory day. Just the day, and then Swami was to give them the final send off, you know. In the morning, right from the morning, there was a type of jostling, people rubbing shoulders to stand in a line, and it was a Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
And on Saturday, Swami would never give darshan on the balcony. Nagar Sankirtans were only for Sundays and Thursdays. On Saturday, Swami had never, in our history, in the annals of Vrindavan, come out on the balcony to give darshan. But these people were leaving that day.
Mm-hmm.
So they had formed a line outside, they had queued up outside, without our telling them to do anything like that. And then they started singing bhajan of their own. The 9 or 10 bhajans that they had learned,
mm-hmm,
in the course of that stay, they kept repeating those bhajans again and again. And then they started advancing towards Swami's bungalow, towards the gate. And it was a virtual gate crash. It was a proper, mm-hmm, gate crash, because they went near the gate and they pushed the gate. They wanted Swami to come out on the balcony.
Wow.
And Swami came out. On a Saturday, Swami came out on the balcony to grace them. And then Swami, from the balcony, they were singing bhajans. When Swami came out, there was a mad frenzy, like they got into that. They just pushed the gate open and went inside, and they were saying, Sai Baba, Jai Bolo, Bhagwan Si, Satya Sai Baba Ji Ki Jai. And then I have never, never, never in my life seen such a mass transformation of humanity just in a course of 9 days. It was love and love and love that could have done that. Nothing else.
Wow.
And then Swami, from the balcony, Swami asked them, are you happy? Then everyone said, yes, Swami, we are happy, we are happy. Everybody was re-echoing. And then Swami said, I give you a chance to come to Puttaparthi with me.
Oh.
Or I'll send you on a pleasure trip to Mysore.
Mm-hmm.
I'll arrange everything for you to go to Mysore and see that city.
Mm.
Which one would you like to do?
Mm.
What would you like to do?
Mm.
And all of them in one unison, they said, Swami, we want to come with you to Puttaparthi. Mind you, these were people coming from all different walks of life. And till that time, I can well imagine the fate of primary school teachers in government schools. They have a very low self-esteem.
Hmm.
And most of them, they blame everything. They turn ultimately into cynics.
Hmm.
And these are people who had no value for Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba. Hardly they had heard. And Swami must have been at that point in time when they were asked to come to Vrindavan to attend this course. It was an imposition on them.
Hmm. I mean, it was an order from the chief minister.
It's order from the government.
Hmm.
And they had to come. Perforce they had to come. And they must have cursed their fate while coming there. And here were these people, all of them crying. All of them telling Swami, many of them, they were telling Swami, Swami, we don't want to leave you and go.
Wow.
We want to come with you. We want to come to Vrindavan, put Prashanti Nilayam. So that day, I'll never forget in my life. It's etched in my memory.
The pink magic. The what pink magic, the it magic can do. Love.
So wow. That love Swami has been talking about, you know, Swami all the time keeps telling us about love, love and love. Advaita Anubhuti is impossible without love.
Yes.
Vedanta, you know, we talk about, the Vedanta. It has no meaning if there is no love.
Yes. You can't be a spiritual person if your heart is not overflowing with love.
Overflowing with love.
Yes. Wow. Amazing. I mean, what happened in those 9 days with those 900 teachers is what is happening perhaps in so many of our lives all the time. And in fact, if you were with Swami as a student during that time,
definitely,
I think, you know, that is why every person, every student who has been there during those years with Bhagwan, or even in the later years, you know, physical proximity, just that one moment, you know, what perhaps needed 9 days can happen in another life in 9 seconds.
9 seconds, definitely.
Yes. You know,
split seconds.
A split second, just like he told you, you know, seek him, that is enough.
That's the ultimate.
And I think that is the reason why every student, after they have stepped into the portals of his university, his colleges, and after they've experienced his love, and they always said, Swami, we don't want to go. We don't want to leave. We don't want to go. In fact, I remember Brother Naveen and Brother Sridhar also sharing something of this nature when it was the final year of some students and when they were about to leave, and Swami gave the opportunity for one of them to speak. And this is what one of the boys said. In fact, I have a clip of that. Let's listen to that.
Let's listen to it.
So suddenly Swami told, come on, Deepak Sharali, come and talk.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the final year for him. He has to, a batch is going out. So he spoke. He was very emotional, and he told Swami, we have been staying here for 5 years, 3 years, 2 years, as per our term of the courses. And we enjoyed our bliss, happiness here. We were in your close proximity. Mm. And enjoyed all that. But now all of a sudden we are asking you to go out of the place.
Mm.
We don't want to go.
Mm-hmm.
Just give me a small corner in the Vrindavan and give me a broomstick.
Oh.
I'll spend the entire life just cleaning that particular area, and I want to be with you only.
Uh-huh.
Then Swami told, sit.
Mm-hmm.
Then Swami spoke.
Mm.
Swami told, you know, here the students, they'll be thinking that some students, they'll feel that they have come and joined the college because of the force of the parents. Some students, they'll think that they have come of their own devotion. Some, they will think, just let us see what is happening in Swami's college. With that feeling, they would have come. But actually, it is not so.
Uh-huh.
I have picked each and every one of you. And it is my sankalpa, it is my wish that I wanted you to come and study here. And after studying here, after enjoying all this bliss, if you want to stay here itself in one corner of the Vrindavan, sweep the thing and spend your life, what is the purpose of my mission in this world?
Swami said that.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I have selected you so that you will go to different parts of the world and spread Swami's message.
Wow.
You will be my messengers.
Mm-hmm.
And with that sankalpa only, I have selected you. It is not that you have come and you have stayed.
Mm.
And so your beautiful speech, you know, that I just wanted to share with you.
So, and so clearly Bhagwan has mentioned that I have picked you for not just studying and being with me. I have picked you for a much larger purpose. And
can I just share a little bit?
Sure.
Yeah, it's reminiscent of something like this. Probably this happens to every student who, after completion of his studies or her studies, has to go out from here. So I also joined the Legion of Waiting Boys, you know, those boys who complete their studies and then wait for Swami to tell them. So my wait was not very long. But then when I waited, I was longing to stay here, stay back. I didn't want to go. And because we didn't have a Department of History and Indian Culture, there was no way I could have stayed back in the university and done anything.
Because you had done your master's in that area.
In history and Indian culture. So, I just waited and then Swami said, ghar nahi jayega?
Will you not go home?
So he tells this to everyone, go back home now that you have completed your studies, go back home. And I made the most stupid statement of my life. And this type of ostentation is one thing that Swami says, take it out of your life. You never do that, never indulge in that. So Swami told me, ghar chale jao, go home. I said, Swami, please, main rehna chahta hun, Swami, I want to stay back. Swami said, reh ke kya karega? What will you do? You have completed your studies, what will you do here? Then I said, Swami, I can sweep the place. I can clean up the place. And that was it. He came down heavily on me and he said, have I trained you to become a sweeper? This is what he said.
Wow.
Then I said, I was completely taken aback. Then Swami said, never, never, never bend down to such rhetorics, which is meaningless. Get out, he said. Go home and do something worthwhile. Think about your training and do anything commensurate with your training. So this happened to me in my life.
Wow. Think about every moment that you have spent with me and think about how you can now take to fruition everything that has been given to
you. Exactly. If you don't realize our true nature, that again, you know, is again also talking about your true nature. Have I given you birth as a human being just to waste it away? You know, you have higher things to live for. Higher dimensions of life you have to look into. You have to realize.
And you were blessed to see that higher dimension in action when Frank Bernowski demonstrated it.
Yes.
And I think that is the mission for each one of us. The pink journey that we have to traverse. Isn't it?
Beautifully said.
That is the pink journey. After having experienced the pink magic, are you walking on that pink journey? I think that is what...
Are you floating on that mist?
On that mist.
The pink mist.
Yes. Because if you are all the time in the bliss of that mist, then wherever we go, we will only be...
enveloped in that.
Yes. And we will envelop everything around us.
Yes.
I think what Bhagwan wanted all of us is the mist that Bhagwan was spreading on each one.
Yes.
Was limitless. You know, it had no end. It was beyond the horizon. But I think each one of us who has experienced that pink magic, wherever we are, if our aura can spread at least a little, even if it is not limitless like Bhagwan, I think if everyone has this pink aura, has this mist around them,
yes.
And if many people join like that, then, you know, together we would have created that pink magic in the world.
Yes, I created a world of love, a pink world.
A pink world. Yeah. Beautiful. Thank you so much, brother. I know you can go on sharing about Vrindavan because I think those are the most beautiful moments of your life, isn't it? That's how your journey, the pink journey began.
Yes, for sure. I look forward to more opportunities like this.
Yes. Bhagwan willing, it was His will. You know, we didn't plan this. It just happened. And I'm really, you know, even now, you know, I'm so thrilled that, you know, on February 14th, we are talking about
love.
And we are talking about
divine
the
love.
Best way love can be talked about. So it is ultimately His will. And we just have to hand over ourselves for that pink magic to work on us.
Yes.
Thank you so much, brothers. So, dear listeners, with gratitude to Bhagwan, we bring this session to a close. And we, definitely, this is a series, as you know, we are going to carry on in the coming weeks and months in Outside Inside, Deep Inside. There are so many students who have been touched by Bhagwan, who have had the amazing moments of physical proximity during those years, 1969 to 79 and beyond. After the old bungalow came the Trai Bindavan, and then began the glorious Trai session. So there is plenty to capture, plenty to share, and plenty to ruminate upon and rejuvenate ourselves to dedicate to His work, to His mission, and to become that love. So please be with us through this beautiful journey. As always, if you have any queries or comments, you can write to us. You can write to listener@radiosai.org. If you have any feedback that you want to instantly send on your phone, you can send it right away through WhatsApp. Our WhatsApp number is 9393258258. Once again, 9393258258. In the previous session, I asked for bhajans which have Vrindavan, the phrase Vrindavan in them. And so many of you so beautifully responded, and that is how we played the bhajan Anupama Sundara. And you know, even as we were conversing, the bhajan Jai Jai Krishna Yadunandana came about. I think there are so many more beautiful bhajans like that. Yes, please feel free to send us anything that can take us back to those olden golden days of Vrindavan. And if there is anything you know about Frank Baranowski, about the whole aura experience, I think that is again a very fantastic episode of Bhagwan's life, and perhaps we should do a special episode only on that sometime in Outside Inside Deep Inside. If you know anything on that, or if you have experienced the aura of Bhagwan in your own way, please feel free to share. Let us lose ourselves in this pink magic. Thank you so much. Sai Ram.